Hello and welcome back. Stu Hart Factor 90.3 Nigeria Info and her input Harcourt. I'm Daya and we're still having Input Harcourt's biggest conversation. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll move on to another matter that may have far-reaching consequences for Nigeria's economy, or maybe not. Hopefully we'll find out in the course of this conversation. A story cut to the Punch newspaper. Emirates suspends flights to Nigeria from September. Now, here's a bit of the story. Emirates Airlines Thursday announced the suspension of its flight operations in Nigeria from September 1, 2022. It said the suspension became necessary following its inability to repatriate its funds from Nigeria. Now, international carriers operating in Nigeria have repeatedly complained about their inability to repatriate funds to their home countries. Now, they have raised this concern on many occasions with officials of the Federal Ministry of Aviation as well as those at the Finance Ministry. Now, blocked funds belonging to these airlines have risen to about $600 million, as this is due to the inability of the Central Bank of Nigeria to make the US dollar available for the carriers to repatriate. In a statement on Thursday, Emirates Airlines stated it has tried every avenue to address our ongoing challenges in repatriating funds from Nigeria. We've made considerable efforts to initiate dialogue with the relevant authorities for their urgent intervention to help find a viable solution. It added, regrettably, there has been no progress. Therefore, Emirates has taken the difficult decision to suspend all flights to and from Nigeria, effective September 1, 2022, to limit further losses and impact on our operational costs that continue to accumulate in the market. So that's the situation. Join the conversation once again via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. I'm asking, in your estimation, how do you think this might impact, or what the implication of this might be on the Nigerian economy? But I've got joining me here in the studio as well for this conversation, Dr. Eniola Taiwo, who is a lecturer and development consultant. Dr. Taiwo, good evening. Welcome to Halifax.
Good evening, Daya. Thank you for the opportunity.
Great. Let's get to it then. Is it a common practice for businesses, especially those of foreign origin, to repatriate funds to their home country? And what does it mean, really, repatriating funds to their home country? Because they're operating a business here. Mm-hmm. They have personnel here. They have staff. Mm-hmm. They have running costs here. They have to maintain offices. They have to maintain employees. They have to maintain equipment. So why then would they need to repatriate funds to their home country?
Basically, the international trade, which is what the airlines are also doing, when you invest in a foreign country, the tendency, the reason why you're actually going is because you're seeing opportunities there and you also want to make a certain level of returns that will appeal to you. So when you make those, when you, of course, offer those services or goods and then you make the profit, the laws in those countries, one of the things that, you know, we make people come to our country is the fact that they're able to take back some of that profit that they make back to their country, not necessarily reinvesting 100% of their profit. So it's a global practice, not just limited to Nigeria. And the whole essence of allowing you to go back with part of your profit is that it gives you opportunity to look at other investments, opportunity again, and reinvest. But when you find yourself in a situation that you bring in your money and you can't take any of it out, then of course it becomes a disservice to international business. So it's a general practice. It's not just limited to Nigeria. Every other country allows you to invest and take part of your profit back. And so the same is applying in the case of the airlines. And you know, for the airlines, one of the things that you see happening in the aviation industry, especially for the international, for the international airlines or the foreign airlines, is that there's what is called the bilateral air service agreement, which enables airlines to sell their slots in domestic currency. For instance, in Nigeria, they're able to sell tickets to Nigerians in Naira. But under the bilateral agreement, they're allowed to take back their money back to their foreign, to their country of origin, to enable them, of course, continue to serve those international markets. So it's not out of place that they should do that.
All right. What role does the CBN play in the repatriation of these funds? Because I don't think that the CBN is directly involved in the running of these businesses.
No. Okay,
in selling tickets, in managing planes, in running flights. So why is the CBN then expected to be involved in the repatriation of these funds?
Okay, like I said, the airlines, for instance, Emirates, will sell its ticket to Nigerians in Naira. And when they sell the tickets in Naira, it goes to an Emirates account that is domiciled here in Nigeria, in Naira account. Now, of course, there's no way you can repatriate Naira out of Nigeria. You have to take dollars out. So what Emirates does is that, in line with the bilateral agreement, the funds need to go through the central bank to be remitted back to their country. And that's the only way you can. That's why they can sell their. That's why they sell their ticket using exchange rates, the official exchange rates. They don't sell to you at black market rates. So when you're buying those tickets, if you go online and check the dollar rates of some of those tickets, if you convert it to Naira using the black market rates, then of course you know that the cost of tickets will be beyond the reach of most Nigerians who travel. So, but because they are giving you a little above the official rates, usually it's a little above the official rates that they use in calculating their Naira rates for their tickets. So it's the central bank, once they want to move their profit or their money from their Nigerian accounts to their foreign countries, they are moving it out as dollars, which is the international exchange instrument.
And that's why even though the services were rendered in Naira, it has to be converted to US dollars before it can be repatriated.
Yes.
Okay, now, the CBN, quite lately and for some time right now, as a matter of fact, for most businesses in Nigeria, is not directly responsible for how they source for their foreign exchange. Yes. Businesses in Nigeria have been told, however way you can get it, get a foreign exchange, which is why, or one of the main reasons, I suppose, we have a very thriving Forex black market in Nigeria right now. So if certain businesses or many other businesses in other industries have even been directed, there have been official statements from the CBN to source for their foreign exchange however they can, however they wish, of course legally so, why do the likes of Emirates or those in the airline industry, why don't they have the same situation as well? Why can't they source for their dollars some other businesses are doing so?
Like I told you from the beginning, there's a bilateral agreement that covers not just only Nigeria, but all nations of the world. Most nations of the world have signed to that bilateral agreement. Then the essence is to allow for free movement between nations, especially considering the distance that exists between nations in different continents. So the bilateral agreement allows for airlines to fly from their own country and of course bring your citizens and their own citizens and other citizens of other nations of the world to your country for any reason, of course legal reason. And so when they are coming, those people will pay. Now when they are leaving, your country, there are people also who will want to leave your nation to go to other countries and use those airlines. And then those people don't have the foreign currency to give to them, so they're paying in Naira. So it's all about allowing for a seamless movement of people, the seamless movement of people across the globe, that bilateral agreement exists.
So the CBN is the one that has the responsibility of providing the foreign exchange to the airlines?
To those airlines, yes.
Now, that takes us to the very crucial question here then. Mm-hmm. Why is the CBN unable to provide the foreign exchange to the airlines?
Of course, we know that most of our currently our balance of payment far exceeds is in the negative. What that means is that we are spending more than the dollars that we are spending is more than what we are receiving. Of course, our imports or our exports in terms of crude, we all know that's almost a zero at a point in time. But we have consistently imported and petrol, probably kerosene and all of that, and that's gulping a lot of our foreign exchange. So now there's a serious shortage of foreign exchange, and that's why the CBN is finding it difficult to pay. And of course, the shortage of foreign exchange is not peculiar to Nigeria, but ours is worse because we are so import dependent. We're hardly sending anything out of the country.
So Emirates Airline is not the only one in the industry. So if the Emirates is having the issues it is having with repatriation of funds, there are other international airlines plying their trade in Nigeria as well.
Yeah.
They would also need to repatriate funds also. How are they able to do it? Yes, even from the story I read, there have been complaints from the airlines and other airlines as well, as regards, even local airlines have complained as well, as to access to foreign exchange, because a lot of the equipment, maintenance of the aircraft and the others have to be purchased in foreign exchange.
Yep.
But we still have other foreign airlines that are still in the market.
Yeah.
They have not said they're suspending or they're leaving or anything. How are they able to remain in business and Emirates is not?
The truth is that when you look at the numbers of passengers that fly with Emirates out of Nigeria, I think a chunk of those who travel out of Nigeria use Emirates, in spite of the fact that if you have to go, if you are going to any other country, any continent, and you fly Emirates, you must first go to Dubai before you go to that other country. So, but when you look at the costs vis-a-vis the other airline, they seem to be the cheapest. So a lot of people patronize them more than the other airlines. So the other airlines, of course, are also complaining. But you see, one of the things that you describe about most of these other airlines is that for the passengers that are coming back to Nigeria, most times they paid, you make your payment. If you are, for instance, if you are going to be buying the ticket that will originate from the US to Nigeria, on most of these airlines, you pay, they will ask you to pay in dollars. So you discover that when people are coming, the air tickets are usually very high, higher than when you're going, when you're taking off from here. So it's, to a large extent, I think it's more like filling up the aircraft when they are going back than when they are coming. And so you have them have low tickets, and of course those low price tickets are being removed from their portfolio of products now. So you pay premium on your economy. You don't have those very low tickets again. So, and the whole essence is, look, let's as much as possible maximize how much is coming to us. So Emirates, you cannot compare Emirates to other airlines in terms of passengers. They have more passengers that use them.
So we do not have a danger of some of the other international airlines suspending operations as Emirates has done?
Of course, if it continues, because if you look at the amount that we're talking about globally, IATA is saying, look, our airlines cannot get about $1.67 billion out. Out of that $1.67 billion, $600 billion is from Nigeria. So Nigeria is one of the countries that is having the most, or the country with the most delicate situation now in terms of international travels, because there are people who are not able to repatriate their funds to a tune of $600 million. So it's going to a large extent affect international airlines coming here if they discover that they cannot remit their money. But of course, you know, some of them are only indirectly giving you, encouraging people to pay in dollars. So if you have your dollar, which you have, of course, you have not sourced through the central bank, you can approach them and you can pay and get your tickets.
Was this in any way? Now, someone might argue that, well, this is just about the airline industry, and this is just about Emirates for that matter. We're not hearing, even though there are complaints to modern international airlines, nobody is leaving yet. Maybe there's a possibility that might happen in the future. So, but this doesn't concern me. I'm speaking about it hypothetically right now.
Yeah.
The average Nigerian, I don't fly. Yeah. I don't use Emirates. I'm not going to Dubai. I've never been there. Don't plan to go there. Okay. So it doesn't affect me in any way. But does it? Does it have any impact? All of this scenario, does it have any impact on the Nigerian economy? Besides the obvious, possibly loss of jobs. And that average Nigerian might also argue, well, I mean, Nigerians are employed by Emirates anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I feel for those persons whose jobs may have been impacted by this, but they are an insignificant number compared to the Nigerian population. But does it have any impact on our economy?
Definitely it does. Well, for me, I don't even want to look at the negative impact. I want to look at the opportunity that it creates. because every decision you take on the international scene like this, we definitely have some negative and positive impact. But the negative, like we will say, is the fact that most Nigerians who want to travel now will probably pay higher fare. They're going to use the other airlines because Emirates seem to offer them the cheapest flight options. So they probably will pay more. And then beside that, I'm not really seeing anything because most of the people who go to Dubai actually just, and they end up just importing things and bringing into Nigeria. So it's not that they are this adding any serious value. Our exports is not as much as to Dubai. It's minimal. It's also probably to our export probably will be limited to things like food and clothing that are sold to Nigerians in Dubai. Nothing meaningful. We're not selling petrol to them. We're not selling crude to them. So there's really no serious transaction that I will say is happening between Nigeria and a country like Dubai. But how be it, because it's a route that a lot of people follow, I think that this is an opportunity for those Nigerians who have money, who probably want to come, who are thinking about investing in Nigeria. They probably should look at somewhere like the Peace Airline, who is also flying flights from Nigeria now to the same Dubai and other countries. So probably Nigerians can take advantage of that. Nigerians who want to remain in Nigeria and are wealthy can start thinking about hiring or buying jets or planes and bringing them to Nigeria and running the international routes that Emirates was running before.
But well, like you said, that would mean increased costs. And this is not exactly positive for the average Nigerian who makes those trips.
Yeah, I'm not sure the average Nigerian makes those trips.
Oh, okay. For those Nigerians who make those trips,
yes.
That's still not good news for them.
No,
increased airfare would not be good news for anyone.
Especially for those who are in school, who, you know, I mean, use Emirates to go back to their various institutions. That's bad news.
And even for those who would like to go holiday in Dubai sometimes, you know, it's not good news for them either.
They should take the option of looking for somewhere else to go.
How about on a bigger scale, because there's a bigger issue here, mm-hmm. and that is the lack of or the diminishing or lack of access to foreign exchange is the bigger issue here.
Yeah.
How does that affect the Nigerian economy? So is this something we should be very concerned about?
We should. Of course, when we talk about the industries that we have, we're not a country that manufactures equipment. I mean, we are still at the rudimental stage of equipment manufacture. People, when you see something that's manufactured in Nigeria and equipment, they're likely going to see all this roughness and all of that. And for as long as it's working, the man who had produced it thinks that it's okay. And then, of course, the cost of doing that in Nigeria is still relatively higher than somebody walking into China and getting equipment and bringing it. So when you consider that, you see that for as long as we want to continue to drive our industries, we need equipment, we need spares and all of that. We need to have the dollars to be able to do that. And if we don't, if the manufacturers need to go to the black market to source for dollar, to buy spares and all of that, you know that will translate to higher cost of production. And that will not be good for us. In fact, they will become less competitive on the international scene. And then you will have a situation where people will just end up continuing to import. And that's what we are faced with right now.
Are there any other options available at all? Just like other businesses, like you've said, you know, have to resort to the black market. Yeah. And yes, it might mean an increase in production costs, which inevitably will be passed on to the consumer, mm-hmm. which leads to an increase in cost of accessing services or products. Can the international airlines, take that route as well? Is that an option that can even be considered at all?
What option?
To source in the foreign exchange from the black market.
That will increase their loss, as it is now, because most of those tickets, because the funds we're talking about that they need to repatriate are funds that have been, are tickets that have been issued long ago.
And at the official rate?
And at official rate. So if you tell them now to go to the black market to buy dollars, then you're basically telling them to half their money. Because they use 400 and something and they need to go to the black market. And the moment they take that funds and go to the black market, the next thing you will see is that the exchanges will go up again. So it's going to the black market is not an option.
But the Nigerian state does have some foreign exchange. We have some dollars. We have the excess crude accounts. We've got, that may not be very much, but we have the our foreign reserves as well. We do have the dollars
which has
there.
That drastically gone down.
Well, but we still have something left there. Why not give it to the airlines?
For me, I think it's not a priority. You know, giving it to the airlines is actually not a priority for me. And just like we rightly said that the giving it to them does not in any way impact on the average Nigerian. It only impacts on the individuals who probably want to run out of the country or those who can afford to go on holidays and all of that. You know, so I think that instead of giving that money to the airlines, I think the Nigerian government has spent too much on the aviation industry, and is really getting nothing back. As when we compare to what would happen if you provide that money for those who are into manufacturing in Nigeria, if you provide money for those who are into manufacturing, I think we'll get more returns than giving it to the airlines.
Yeah, maybe it's not a priority in the sense of if you look at even the industry itself, what does it bring to Nigeria? Mm-hmm. If you look at the trips that I made, you know, for example, the Emirates, probably Dubai benefits significantly more than Nigeria does as far as that route is concerned.
True.
Nigerians are going there, spending humongous mm-hmm. sums of money. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of Emirati people are coming down to Nigeria to holiday to holiday here or to eat Nigerian jollof rice.
Not at all.
They rather even eat Nigerian jollof rice in Dubai mm-hmm. rather than come to Nigeria here to eat the jollof rice.
True.
However, if international airlines have $600 million in Nigeria that they cannot move, that's a problem for them. How about the optics? How does that present us? I mean, just a while ago, you reeled out some very disturbing figure, over $1 billion that airlines cannot move all over the world.
Globally,
and Nigeria alone has $600 million of that.
Yes.
I mean, that's significantly horrible for mm-hmm. us. So the optics of that is not good in terms of other businesses or potential businesses that could have been investors in Nigeria. When they see this scenario and they're thinking, okay, I was thinking to go put $500 million. I was thinking to go put $1 billion in Nigeria. If I put it there, and yes, the incentive is there, the market is there, the population is there, this is there. But like you said at the start of this conversation, at the end of the day, it's about making a profit. And you want to be able to take some of that
profit back.
So if companies know that taking their profits back to their home country will be an issue, why would they come here?
In fact, if you remember the ShopRite business, that's the same problem they were having.
Mm.
And because when at the point they were even getting their funds, they discovered that when they were remitting, their funds had lost value. You get so by the time they got their money, that their return had lost value, so to say. So it's not too good for us as a people, as a country, if people discover that they can come and invest here, but when it's time to take their money back, they cannot. It's not going to be good at all for foreign direct investment.
Is there something that the Nigerian government can do to address this situation with our forex issues? Because some way or another, you find a lot of people still. We say we have a scarcity of forex. We are telling businesses they actually need the money to source their forex wherever they can get it from. Yet, people still get this forex somehow. You find people spraying dollars at parties. Mm-hmm. You find mm-hmm. people, you know, displaying these foreign currencies. You have during the last primaries of political parties.
Mm-hmm.
People were sharing dollars.
Of course.
The same dollars we say is scarce, mm-hmm. that we can't give to the Emirates and co. People were sharing dollars to delegates, you know. You find that even the black markets, the bureau de change, as they're called in some cases, get dollars also from the CBN. So what exactly is going on?
You see, when you look at, you know, we're in an environment that I think that a lot of the central bank may be putting in place policies, but we don't seem to be listening. If you recollect, you will discover that some of the bureau de change operators were actually accused of sponsoring terrorists. That was in the news for a while.
Mm.
Now, if they are, then that speaks volume, because that also means that the trafficking in foreign exchange, something is happening between them and this guy, because these kidnappers who are asking for money in dollars and all of that, when those ransoms are paid in dollar, where did they go to? They find their way into the economy, and when they find their way into the economy, through what? It's going to definitely be through the borrowed exchange, these black market operations. So you discover that for as long as the insecurity continues, then it's also going to be affecting the exchange rate. And there's so many money we're spending on subsidy. You know, I think that the payment that we're making for subsidies is something that need to be looked at seriously and to see how that can be eliminated. Because for as long as we are paying the kind of amount we are paying for subsidy, then of course our exchange rate is going to still be this bad, if not worse.
It is Hard Fact to 90.3 Nigeria Info and Her Input Harcourt. We still have Input Harcourt's biggest conversation. Join in right now, if you will, via facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Pardon me, via Twitter as well, at Nigeria Info PH. The lines are open right now. Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0817-93-0007. Those are the numbers to call if you'd like to join in on the conversation at hand. Emirates Airlines has suspended flights to and from Nigeria because of its inability to repatriate its funds from Nigeria to its home country. And other airlines experiencing similar issues. $600 million right now, airlines are unable to repatriate from Nigeria. Your thoughts on this, how it might impact the economy, what to make of what's going on? Do you even think you know better than my guests what's responsible for this? Well, let's get your take as well. Once again, call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003 or 0007. And via Twitter, at Same Samed Diso tweets, please can all the flight companies do the same so that all the politicians can remain in Nigeria? then they will simply buy private jets.
You have more private jets in the airport.
And they will need US dollars to buy the jets as well.
True.
And they will need US dollars to service the jets also. All right. Hello, Hard Factor, welcome.
Sayo.
Hello,
I want to greet your guest.
Go ahead,
please. I want to ask your guest in the studio, would it be safe to say the Nigerian government is operating a Ponzi scheme like something by telling these airline people, operators, to come in and invest? And after the people have come in, maybe investment and miss the high cost of running business here. Now to repatriate their money becomes an issue, or is it that the Nigerian government is waiting for the airline to go to court to file legal processes to retrieve their money? Is it a Ponzi scheme like economy Nigeria is running?
Doc?
First, I want to correct that impression. The Nigerian government is not owing the airlines. The airlines have their money in Nigerian banks, in naira. So what they want to do is they want to convert that naira to dollar and take the dollar out of the country, which is becoming difficult because there's no dollar for them to get from the federal government. That's the problem. So and it's not about a Ponzi scheme. It's not about fraud. It's an accumulation of bad economic policies that probably may have been before this administration, but I think have gotten worse with the way things have turned out in the last 7 years. So I think that we should look beyond that. It's government's way of punishing them or strangulating business. I'm sure if the government if CBN had that dollar to back this request, they will pay. I mean, it's the situation of the fact is that this demand for dollars from the airline has been rising and falling. You know, government have been meeting, but in the last from March, it's not been rising. to from 280 something to 450 to 600. And they are postulating that if it continues like this, we may be hitting the $1 billion mark.
Yeah, but you said if the CBN had it, they would give it to them. But all the people who are sharing dollars during primaries and co, is the dollars not coming primarily first and foremost from the CBN as well?
No, at that time it was not from the CBN. They were buying from the black market.
Yeah, but even the black market dollars, where does all the dollars come from, essentially?
From so many sources.
Not just the CBN?
Not just the CBN.
All right. We will explore that in a moment. Hello, Hard Factor, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Dyer.
Hi, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead, please.
It's Uchen, I'm calling from India. Mr. Dayo, you see why Nigerian government doesn't have a good policy on ground? Then they only like Emirates to stop their flight, so Nigerians will suffer the more. Then they are able to carry dollar. Wherever they want to go abroad, they will easily get dollar from central bank and they move. But for them to change, give the dollar to Emirates, so that transport will be easy on the airline for the Nigerians, instead of they keep under man. I even want Emirates to suffer, so that Air France will also follow them. Qatar Airways will also follow them. Those people travel now, all those are big men travel abroad, we not even go again. A lot of them will be moving on car. After all, there is no fuel to move on car. The transit is not good. I'm telling you the truth. What is that they cannot give Emirates? The central bank is there. The CBN governor is there. He's there packing dollars. Now, the election is coming. They have won, they won all the dollars. They want to suffer the poor mass. Let them continue. It is God that will suffer them. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, hello, Hard Fat. Go ahead, please.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Dayo.
All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Yes, this is Richard. I'm calling for Ada George right now. Dayo, to your guest, who I'm meeting right now, please, I don't know if you can, because I was thinking of something outside the box. Is it not possible that these guys, as in Emirates in this case, they demand that the citizen that want to travel abroad or the passenger want to go abroad pay in dollar instead of shutting down? Just see how it works for 1 month. And if it doesn't work, shut down for good or whatever. But I was thinking they can, I said that people will start paying in dollar instead of naira. So that's my question.
All right, Richard. Interestingly, when we spoke, when I first called you about today's interview, you did say something about this then. So
yes.
Your response to that first.
Well, you know, at the time, there was a time the airlines came up and said that they will be taking dollars, they won't take naira anymore. And of course, the CBN came and said, no, you cannot dollarize the Nigerian economy, that everybody is paying. Now people want services and then they pay in dollars. You cannot do that. That, of course, violates the extant laws as far as transactions in foreign exchange is concerned. But of course, but the law also says that if you are willing, if you decide that you want to pay, you can go ahead and pay, but you cannot source that dollar from the forex market regulated by the central bank. So what that means is that you cannot go to your bank, for instance, and collect dollar, you understand? And then you now go to the airline and buy tickets with the dollar that you got from central through the central bank. That's not allowed. You can go to the black market, source your dollars, and then go and pay. No problem.
Yeah, but we have several other businesses in Nigeria that require that the services abroad also be paid for in foreign exchange, especially in the real estate. In places like Lagos and Abuja, you have some properties that whether you want to purchase or you even want to pay rent, mm-hmm. it has to be in dollars. I think there was a story that broke some time ago of some school or schools as well.
Collecting school fees.
They also collect fees in dollars.
Yeah, but you cannot source that dollar through the central bank.
And that takes us to the issue of sourcing. Before yes. I take those calls, we were saying that dollar comes into the Nigerian market via several ways. Now, mm-hmm. not all the dollars actually comes from the CBN.
True.
What are some of the other ways through which this dollar comes in?
There are Nigerians that do international trade in neighboring countries and collect and get their payments in dollar and bring the cash through the Nigerian borders. You know, and then of course they bring raw cash and bring it into Nigeria through the borders. So that's also one source of dollars.
Is that legal?
Yes, it is. You have to. The thing is that you must declare it when you are coming. You declare it at the entry points of Nigerian borders. You declare that this is the money I'm bringing in, and there are forms they give to you. You state the source of the money and all of that. It's a lot.
All right, join the conversation still 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007 via Facebook. Iwuchi Onyekachi goes, the implication is that the incompetent Buhari administration has succeeded in serving Nigerians homegrown everything. I'm not sure I follow that. Kinsley Sondagos, God can never come down again to help Nigeria. That doesn't need to be helped. Is it God or Muhammad that will come and help Nigeria? Which one? Kinsley also goes, I wish I'm listening to this program on this station, but no, I can't receive your frequency from Uyo here. Okay, maybe if one of our social media Drell can respond to this message, please inform Kinsley Sunday. He can also watch us online. Well, since he's on Facebook anyway, he should know that already. We are streaming live on Facebook, so hopefully he can catch that. All right, back to the phone lines. Hello, Hard Fans, welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Hi there, go ahead.
Okay, I also want to point out, answering to your question. Meanwhile, my name is Daniels, and I'm calling from Adajoji.
Go ahead.
Along our borders, from the Katsina Agris, Adamawa Agris as well, nobody is declaring anything there. And I'm telling you from experience, you can bring in vehicles, you can bring in rice, you can actually drop a truckload of rice on the other border and tens of motorcycles will drive them in. Then from Megatiri Agris, Megatiri is after Gumel, Gumel is in Jigawa State, same thing also happens. So a lot of currencies, arms, different things come in into our countries undeclared. So I think that's also a major source of the dollars that do not flow in from the CBN.
Okay. All right, thanks for pointing that out. But whether declared or not, I think it still goes in line with what you said as to...
No, you know, we're talking about the legal one.
Yeah.
There are a lot of illegal, I mean, there are people who smuggle money even through imported cars. You know, the cars that they bring in, they have dollars hidden in those things, dollar maybe proceeds of crime and all of that. I don't want to look at those because... And when the government sees those, of course, they are seized. So let's look at the one that anybody sees with you. Of course, you can legally say this is this, you know. Mm. A lot of the dollars that this British exchange are selling, they are proceeds of crime. A lot of it.
All right. And via Facebook as well, Sonny Barry goes, Daya, good evening. Your guests in the studio, I'm just sick and tired of this country. Nothing seems to be working. Please, all the ministers should resign. Including Mr. President, they have all failed. Thanks. All right, once again, via facebook.com/NigerianForPH and Twitter, NigerianForPH, call 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. Hello, Hard Factor, welcome. Via Facebook, OVS Steve goes, signs of a failed government. When we say it, your media outfit will say, what are your facts? Well, the facts are before you every day. Only God Almighty will help Nigeria. OVS Steve, I don't think anybody will stop anyone, any Nigerian, whether Nigerian for any other responsible media outlet, from expressing certain positions. If you think that the economy is failed or the country is failed, I don't think anybody will stop you from saying that. I just read your message right now. However, there are certain extents that you might go to that, you know, when you start to make certain claims that seem factual, then you'll be required to present those facts. But if you think that based on evidence available to you, like the matter we're discussing right now, your interpretation of that is it's a failed economy or a failed state, no one will stop you from expressing that opinion. You're well within your rights to do so. And Oko Nnamdi goes, when will all this economic mess stop? So let's talk about that for a bit. Maybe an attempt to give Steve Ovier and others like himself some hope. Is all of this reversible? Can we earn sufficient foreign exchange that will make the likes of Emirates and Co. return, that will make businesses, other businesses of a foreign kind especially, be comfortable coming to invest in Nigeria, that will make even local businesses that require foreign exchange get them easily so they can source for whatever material, equipment they may need to overseas or wherever it is, you know? Can it happen? Can we have a thriving economy and all the foreign exchange that we need?
I will not give up on Nigeria as an individual. I think it is possible to reverse what is happening. But of course, reversing what is happening is not only just about economic policies. There are so many things that we need to work on. Our educational policy, security, issues concerning security, a lot of that needs to change. You know, we must move away from that mindset of somebody goes to school and one is coming out is talking about job. You know, I get tired when I hear people just talking about come and provide jobs. And I'm like, to what extent can government actually provide jobs? There are some states that, you know, we tend to call them civil servant states. There's a maximum number of people that those states can absorb. When they do absorb that number, what happens to the others? So we must get to the point where we are producing as a people to the lowest person. I mean, cottage industry, people are operating from their homes and all of that. We need to get that. Then, of course, you know, for that to happen, there are infrastructures that are required. We need to be able to, government needs to be able to provide all of that. Then, you know, one major source of outflow, one major source of drainage that we talk about, where Nigeria is really losing money, is importation of petroleum products right now. I think that's one major thing that if we can stop, we'll be on the path to recovery. All the money we are spending on subsidy and all of that, if you just sit down and add up all those sums that have been spent on subsidy and imagine those money staying in Nigeria and being pumped into a lot of productive things, you'll be amazed. You know, sometimes even with this discussion we're having about Emirates and all that, the $600 million, the equivalent in Naira, is in Nigerian banks. What is happening to those funds? Are those funds made available for people to do one or two businesses? These are questions we should be asking. So at least until the federal government is able to source funds and give them their dollar, those Naira that remain in our Nigerian banks, what is happening to those funds? So imagine, just convert $600 million to Naira and see that money moving around in the Nigerian economy. But the truth is that they are sitting in one bank somewhere. There's nothing that those banks are doing with it.
All right. There's so much, really, to unpack here. But talking about the issue of, importation of petroleum products and subsidies, it seems it's something that successive governments talk about
and do nothing.
Exactly, and don't try to take a decisive stand and do, you know, even this, the last administration of Goodluck Jonathan appeared to have taken maybe the boldest step on it, even though it was reversed eventually because of pressure from the public. But the Buhari administration has, talked about it severally, even incessantly at different times, mm-hmm. but has done nothing practical in ending that. When is the perfect time to end this fuel subsidy regime, in your estimation?
First, I think before we talk about ending the subsidy, you know, some things that we need to put in place, that government needs to put in place if they say, look, we want to end subsidy. And one for me is that let's see how the train system can really be made more effective. Now, if that is done, and then the movement within the country of goods and services, of course, is made cheaper through the rail lines and all of that. You see that the movement of persons, train head can move at least 5,000 people from one destination to another destination. And as you're coming, you're picking. The fuel that train head we use is going to be as much as probably two or three trailers we use from the north to come here. So by the time you are looking at all of those demands and all of those the pressure on the petroleum products and all that, it goes down. Then of course you have efficient public transport, not what we have now. Lagos seems to be going in that direction. Every state of the federation should adopt that Lagos model, where you have buses, BTR buses, plying the whole street and reducing the pressure on all the little cars we have all over the country, because these are what they are using to justify the importation. And of course, information also available shows that a chunk of what is imported is actually going out through the borders. So it's a vicious cycle where as these products come in, they are moving out. So once you stop, once you remove that subsidy, it becomes very expensive to even buy from Nigeria.
Now, finally, as we wrap up the conversation, there are high expectations regarding the Dangote refinery when it comes on board. Already, I think humongous sums have been allocated to the refurbishment or repairs of our own existing refineries. When they do come back on stream, our refineries, the Dangote refinery, when it comes on, what impact would that have on our need to import and subsidies and going forward?
I want to have confidence in the Dangote own, but for the ones owned by the Nigerian state, I'm not too, they've been pumping a lot of money in those refineries and they've really not done anything significant. So Dangote would just be a little out of the, it would probably just help us a little. But I think that we must get to the point where the subsidy, we stop it completely.
And that's a wrap on today's edition, Heartfelt continues afterwards. Thanks for listening. My guest, Dr. Nila Tai, was a lecturer, development consultant. Many thanks for your time. Wish you the best.
Thank you, Daniel.